Welcome to Journal Club for December 3rd, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Imagine it's the early 2000s, and you're working as a software engineer at one of the budding social networks of the time. It could be a Facebook, a MySpace, a Friendster, a Twitter, etc. What makes your work special is that you're part of what's increasingly being known as Web 2.0. Gone are the days of static websites and individual user experiences. This is the dawn of the dynamic web and shared experiences, social experiences. Your company is not just storing data about users and their individual flows through the application, but also how each user is interacting with each other user. You have new concepts that describe this. For the first time, you have things like following and follower. You have friends, you have groups and social circles. You have relationships. This, of course, is transformative for how people use web applications, but from an engineering standpoint, it's also a big problem. Systems like your RDBMS are not built to store this kind of information and are really struggling to hold this kind of data and run queries on it. The crux of the problem is computational complexity. Picture this example. You're storing each user as a row in one table of your database. If one user follows another user, you store that in a relationships table. If you want to retrieve a list of followers for a specific user, you need to query the relationships table. As the network grows, the relationships table expands exponentially. Basic CRUD operations like updating a user's connections or searching for mutual friends becomes painfully slow. Traversing relationships across multiple hops, such as finding friends of friends, requires nested loops of queries, resulting in computational complexity, big O, of n squared or worse. As you run these queries, the system starts to choke under the weight of growing data. You think to yourself, there's got to be a better way. And you're right, there is. Each Web 2.0 startup is initially left to solve this problem on their own. Generally, they keep their solutions well hidden at first, but over the next few years in the Valley, whispers and stories and demos are going around about a new kind of technology. The graph database. It's designed from the ground up specifically to solve these kinds of problems more efficiently. Imagine a system where each user is represented as a vertex and the connections between them as edges. Instead of complex join queries, the database can perform direct lookups of relationships. Traversing friends of friends is as simple as following a chain of vertices across two edges. The computational complexity drops dramatically because the database is optimized for these operations, treating relationships as first-class citizens instead of a byproduct of table design. At the turn of the next decade, Crunchbase, the startup database founded by the same people who made TechCrunch, start advocating for this concept publicly. Their developers begin evangelizing a new database called Neo4j. While there are others, Neo4j takes off like wildfire. And the rest is history. It's now more than a decade later, and graph databases are used by many companies for far more than social networking features. Financial institutions use them for anti-money laundering by identifying transaction cycles indicative of fraud. E-commerce platforms rely on them to generate real-time product recommendations based on user behavior patterns. Logistics companies optimize delivery routes by solving traveling salesman problems on a graph of routes and stops. But as they've matured and scaled, many users have been left wondering, could this system be faster? The existing technology is great and all, and certainly solves the problem better than the other options we had at the turn of the millennium, but in 2024, are they still the best we can do? The authors of today's paper propose a way to give them an upgrade, a performance bump. They're proposing a new design for graph databases, similar to existing solutions, but different in a few key ways. One, compact packing of graph data and properties to optimize access patterns. Two, use of tree-structured key-value storage, for example, B-plus trees, as the foundation instead of custom-built engines. Three, introduction of adaptive mapping strategies for efficient data splits and merges. And four, optimizations to support concurrent write transactions without compromising read performance. Let's see how their system works, how they built it, and how it fared under performance shootouts. Graph databases primarily use two data models, the Resource Description Framework Model, and the Property Graph Model. The RDF model, Resource Description Framework, structures data as triples: subject, predicate, object. For example, Alice knows Bob. It's designed for semantic relationships and excels in hierarchical datasets. The property graph model, on the other hand, represents entities, as I've mentioned, as vertices, relationships, and edges, and allows both to have properties. For example, a vertex might store a user's name, and an edge might store the timestamp of a transaction. While RDF models are favored for semantic web applications, property graph dominates in domains like social networks and fraud detection due to their flexibility and intuitive design. The research discussed here adopts the property graph model. TuGraph, the proposed system, introduces a two-tiered architecture designed to address the performance challenges commonly faced by graph databases. The two layers of the architecture are the property graph layer and the key value layer, PG and KV, each serving distinct but complementary purposes. The property graph layer is responsible for abstracting high-level graph operations into commands that the underlying KV layer can understand and process efficiently. At its core, the PG layer manages graph-specific entities, so that's vertices representing nodes, and edges representing relationships. Each of these entities can carry multiple properties, which are metadata or attributes such as the name or type of a vertex or the timestamp of an edge. The PG layer ensures that these graph operations, such as adding or deleting vertices and edges, traversing paths, or performing filtering, are translated into efficient key value operations. To achieve this, the PG layer employs a schema-aware design, allowing constraints and optimizations based on the type and structure of the data being processed. The key value layer, the KV, built on LMDB, operates as the backbone of the system, handling the actual storage and retrieval of data. LMDB, which is the Lightning Memory Map Database, is a high-performance B+ tree-based database known for its predictable latency and superior read performance. TuGraph, the new system, leverages these capabilities to ensure that both sequential and random access patterns are optimized. The KV layer, as it sounds, stores data as key-value pairs, where keys uniquely identify graph elements, such as vertices or edges, and values store their associated properties or topological data. A major innovation in TuGraph's architecture is its compact packing strategy, which tightly organizes data in storage. Unlike traditional graph storage systems that scatter properties like vertices and edges across multiple storage blocks, TuGraph keeps them grouped in contiguous storage regions. This minimizes disk seeks, enhances data locality, and accelerates read-heavy workloads, which are common in graph databases. For example, when querying a vertex and its immediate neighbors, TuGraph can retrieve the relevant data in a single storage access rather than multiple fragmented reads. To handle scenarios where the data exceeds available memory, TuGraph employs adaptive mapping. This mechanism splits large data blobs into smaller, more manageable chunks when certain thresholds are exceeded. The system dynamically adjusts between mixed mapping, that's all data packed into a single key-value pair, and split mapping, distributing data across multiple pairs. This design ensures a balance between reducing overhead for small datasets and maintaining manageability for larger datasets. For instance, mixed mapping is ideal for data that fits within a few kilobytes, leveraging contiguous access for optimal performance. On the other hand, split mapping is employed when the data grows beyond that threshold, ensuring that individual updates to properties or edges do not require rewriting entire data blocks. The architecture also incorporates topology-aware data organization. The system assigns each vertex a unique identifier, and each edge a composite identifier that includes information like source and destination vertices, edge labels, and optional temporal data. This allows the system to efficiently organize and query edges based on traversal patterns, temporal constraints, or edge labels. The arrangement of these identifiers in storage reflects the expected access patterns, prioritizing commonly accessed relationships and properties. Another important feature is property packing, where vertex and edge properties are stored alongside their topological data in compact format. TuGraph offers two options for this: index packing and compact packing. While index packing stores properties separately, providing quick access to topology-only queries, Compact packing combines properties with topology data to optimize scenarios where both are queried together. This hybrid approach ensures flexibility for different workload characteristics. Finally, TwoGraph optimizes for concurrent access and write performance. While LMDB's default design favors single-threaded writes to ensure integrity, TwoGraph introduces enhancements like write-ahead logging and query-level concurrency control. Write-ahead logging ensures that data modifications are logged sequentially, reducing random write penalties on disk. Concurrent control allows overlapping read and write transactions, carefully managing contention to maximize throughput without violating ACID guarantees. To benchmark their system, the researchers used the Linked Data Benchmark Council, LDBC, Social Network Benchmark, that's the SNB, which is a recognized standard for evaluating graph databases under real-world workloads. The benchmark stresses database capabilities with multi-hop traversals, large datasets, and relationship-heavy queries such as finding friends of friends or detecting cycles. It also includes shortest path computations, which are essential for tasks like route optimization and bulk data insertions to evaluate the system's ability to handle large-scale updates efficiently. Tests were conducted on synthetic and real-world datasets, including the Twitter 2010 dataset, which features about 41 million vertices and 1.47 billion edges. This dataset's power law distribution with nodes of extremely high connectivity posed significant challenges for storage and traversal efficiency. The researchers also tested scalability by varying dataset sizes from memory-resident graphs to those requiring extensive disk storage, analyzing the transition's impact on performance. Both micro and macro benchmarks were used. Micro benchmarks focused on individual operations like vertex insertion and property lookups, while macro benchmarks tested end-to-end queries involving multiple hops and filtering, simulating complex real-world scenarios. Metrics included throughput, latency, and resource utilization, with particular attention to how TwoGraph managed mixed, read-heavy, and write-intensive workloads. The results showed TwoGraph outperforming leading databases like Neo4j and JanusGraph. It excelled in read-heavy workloads with its compact data packing and efficient cache use. In write-intensive tasks, it leveraged write-ahead logging and concurrent write batching to maintain respectable performance despite single writer constraints. These results demonstrated TwoGraph's ability to handle demanding workloads with high efficiency. Overall, the benchmarking demonstrated that TwoGraph may be a highly efficient solution for applications requiring high throughput and low latency graph operations. So, what can you and I take away from this paper? Well, this paper shows us that it might be time to start rethinking, refactoring, and upgrading some of the architecture powering our social graphs. What was state-of-the-art 10 years ago isn't necessarily so today. We're in a position to evolve these systems to be faster, more performant, and more scalable than they've been in the past. This paper shows one way, but there are undoubtedly many others as well. If you want to dive deeper into how these authors built this system, so you can emulate it or test drive it yourself, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.